Well, good morning. You guys ready? I hope so. Oh, God, we need help. Lord, pray for me for a moment. Just stretch your hands towards me. Apostle Paul would ask the churches, pray that I could open my mouth, that I could speak as I ought to. And even this morning, God, I pray that you would pull out of my spirit and craft my words to reveal your word, your heart, your mind to your people. That grace and unction would come by the power of your spirit. Help me for your name's sake and for your people. We welcome you, Holy Ghost. Do what you want to do. Woo. Amen. And amen. You know, a lot of what was shared exhorted how the room was charged and challenged to pray and engage, to intercede, to the testimonies that were given, all of that literally, and the language used was all literally words exactly out of my notes, which is good. It's the Lord speaking to us. And I pray that we can continue to hear what the Spirit says to us. Amen? Come on, say, Lord, give me ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Give me an understanding heart. Keep me from spiritual stupor and the deceitfulness of sin that blinds me. Yeah, Lord, send fire on my heart today. Come on, ask the Lord for fresh fire. Come on, ask him for a second, sincerely. Say, God, send fresh fire on my heart today. Shake what can be shaken in me. Loose the reality of your kingdom upon my life. Animate the gospel. And may the Spirit's life have freedom. Yeah, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom in a very real way. And there's an all-out assault on your freedom, on our freedom. Therefore, we must stand fast to maintain our freedom, to stay within our freedom. You know, when other things come into our understanding, into our mind, into our life, other ideas, other persuasions, other influences, it starts congesting the gospel, clouding our understanding of the truth, and we start to suffer in our experience of the grace of God. You hear what I'm saying? The kingdom of God is inside of us. God himself has come to live, to take up residence among his people. This is a flipping mystery that is amazing, that God dwells in and among his people. We are his house. God dwells by the Spirit in our midst. And our job as the church is to learn to live in step with the Spirit as we commune with the Spirit, as we yield and are governed by the Spirit. These are what the children of God are called to do. We are alive in the Spirit and we're meant to learn to walk by the Spirit. Amen? This is a truth, you know. And when we walk by the Spirit, when we understand the gospel and what Jesus has done for us, it changes everything. When we want to start living our life in our own strength, by our own works, by our own efforts, things additional to the cross, we start falling from grace. Nothing changes about him. Nothing changes about the gospel. God has not changed his mind about you, his people. We are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Everything that belongs to him has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Come on, can I get an amen?
Amen.
That is real, and it's meant to be a felt reality, though we don't live by our feelings. It's meant to be a truth that we know, that we own, that we are assured of, that we're convicted of, that we're persuaded of, that we rely upon, that we are fully given to, stand in wonder at. Because when the gospel and the truth of what Jesus has given us, what God has given us, is there, we can live in the power of the Spirit by faith in him. When we seek to be justified or live our life by do's and don'ts, rules and regulations, man-made religion, our antics, our systems, and we rely upon our own spirituality, we rely upon our own devotion and abilities, you start entering into a yoke of religion that ensnares your soul and causes you to literally fall from grace. When you fall from grace, your experience and ability to walk in freedom cannot be. You start living oppressed. And you enter into a cycle of trying to compensate for that oppression to get back to some kind of place by doing more religious works. And then you're caught in this religious cycle. And you wonder, what's going on? The truth of the matter is you have been bewitched and believed a lie somewhere and are participating and agreeing with it somewhere and has caused you to stumble from running well in the truth. Because the kingdom of God is freedom. The kingdom of God is power. The kingdom of God is right living. It is peace. It is rest of soul. It is joy in the Holy Ghost. It's intimacy of knowing Him. It's so important that we don't let other things come and enslave us and put a yoke upon us that hinder us from running well. You know, that was the battle in Galatians. Paul's saying, who hindered you from running well? Did you receive the Spirit by your own works or your own efforts? By keeping the law, by doing good things, is that how you received the Spirit? Or did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith? The Spirit that works miracles among you, that Spirit that releases breakthrough, do you think that happens by jumping through spiritual hula hoops? Keeping all the right things, fasting enough, praying enough, tithing enough, feeding the poor? Do you think those things alone or make you a recipient or deserving of the Spirit? Absolutely not. But a life that's fully reliant upon Jesus and what He's done. We receive the Spirit by faith, and man, we have to keep with the simplicity of the freedom that is in Him, or everything starts getting messed up. Amen? And we have to contend for that because all kinds of other things try to come in the way. Through well-meaning people, through things you read, things you watch, people you associate with. I'm going on a little bit of a rant here, but I'm burdened by this because I'm burdened by how the saints, we are plundered so much by little leavens that rob our freedom. And then we run around smacking our head against the wall, living in sin and dysfunction and wondering why we can't get free. It's because you've been feasting and drinking from a different well, a broken cistern, and we've forsaken the living God. And we're called to return to the Lord Himself to find our rest, our satisfaction, and wholeness in Him. Freedom is found in Him, nothing else. Provision was made at the cross, nothing else. All has been paid, all has been given. You don't need anything else. The Lord may speak and direct you to something else, but that's when the Lord speaks, where He becomes your wisdom. We have so settled and allowed carnal thinking, carnal wisdom to dictate our actions, our behaviors, where we have self-medicated in so many ways and called it wisdom, when at the heart of the matter is we've not sought the Lord. We're so into self-gratification and quick fixes that we don't know how to wait on the Lord. And I feel the Lord's jealousy over His people in this season. He's jealous for your heart. He's jealous for your affection, where your trust really is. Where it's in other things or other people or your own devotion, He wants to wreck it all and cause you to come into the rest of faith that's found in Him alone. Are you tracking with me? So we're at the head of a new year. You know, I hope that we've actually taken time to reflect on this previous year It's really important that we do that. You take time to reflect, to look back, to consider, right? That you gain some wisdom from both your wins and your wounds from this previous year, and that we make the appropriate adjustments, right? Because God forbid we just continue in our way, right? We want to continue to learn. We want to continue to grow. We want to humble ourselves before God. And one of the things that I shared last time I spoke, and the things that are being reiterated, and it is so important that we go back to the basics. You go back to the basics to be firmly established in the foundations of the faith in a very real way. Because you never graduate from the basics. You live and evolve from them. The foundations, the first principles of the faith get pushed through everything that you do. You don't graduate and move on just to more mature things and don't hold fast to the things that are behind you. You build off of them. They never leave you. It's with the presupposition that I'm living these. I'm practicing. They're integrated into who I am. I've become the Word. I live the Word. That's meant to be our reality. And when our foundations get shaky or in our familiarity, we stop practicing the basics of the faith, the disciplines of grace that we're called to live in. We start to drift. All over the scriptures, Paul says, hey, hold fast. Let the word that you heard from the beginning abide in you. See to it that you do not drift from this. This is how your hope is made secure. This is how your hope, what you want is, you can be assured of. It's by holding fast to what you received in the beginning. Don't stray from it. We need to go back to the basics. Go back to your places of devotion. Return to your first love. It's so easy to be so distracted with stuff and things that you forget Jesus himself. That we don't learn to wait in his presence. To wait on him. This is essential because, you know, we can acknowledge, but when it comes to the practice of our life, that's a different thing for many. We have to learn to let our life be oriented around his voice, his word, and his assignment and purpose for your life. So important. Because there's an assignment. There's a God-given call. There's things for you to do. There's things for us to apprehend. Things for us to receive that God has called us to do. Things that you must steward, that I must steward, that collectively we must steward. And we have to understand what those are and give ourselves to them faithfully. We have to be steadfast, church. Come on, Lord, help us be steadfast. Help us follow through. Come on, it takes endurance. It takes faithfulness to walk with Jesus. Amen? Amen. This is really important. In the other room, say amen. You know, we don't ever graduate from poverty of soul that receives the kingdom. We don't ever graduate for hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We don't ever graduate from that heart that has to continually forgive and be merciful. We don't ever graduate from having to be pure and undefiled and unspotted from the world. We don't ever graduate from persecution. We don't ever graduate from being peacemakers. We don't graduate from those things. We build our life in them and from them and out of them by the power of the Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying? Man, we are called to live a supernatural life, a life lived by faith in the power of God, not a life that you can manage and control. Amen? This is really important that we understand this because God wants to partner with you and I. God wants to reach the world. As I said before, he has an inheritance in the nations. God loves people way more than we do. Come on, you ever say, oh God, help me love people? Do you know it calls us to deeply receive the love of God in the gospel? Because the Bible says, do you know how you even know that you've passed out of darkness and into light? That you love the brethren. He who hates abides in darkness. But he who loves abides in light, and there's no cause of stumbling within them. God wants to keep you from stumbling, from drifting, from walking in the way that's unpleasing to God and that's unfruitful in the kingdom. You and I are called to bear fruit. Come on, say bear fruit. You are called to bear fruit, and fruit that remains. Fruit that remains, not short-lived, flash-in-the-pan things that look cool, but that are hollow and empty and void of power. Not a form of godliness, not good works that are void of love. That's why you can know mysteries, you can prophesy, have faith that moves mountains, know all knowledge, give your bodies to the flame to help the poor, serve in the church all you want. And if you have not love, you have nothing. Right? We are called to bear fruit that remains. The Bible says, man, if we are not abounding, growing, continually growing, moving, evolving, going from glory into the next level of glory, from faith into the next level of faith, strength into the next level of strength, then it says that we have become barren and unfruitful in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus, having forgotten that we were cleansed from our former sins. In other words, your ability to even keep growing is hinged on your revelation of the gospel that you have been forgiven and you're whole and you're free. And he's given you everything for life and godliness by divine power through your knowledge of him. Come on, this is good news. That's what the scriptures teach and declare to us, that you can be a divine partaker of his nature, not a second-rate child trying to get by hoping to live up to Jesus. That's religion. That is orphan thinking. You've been plucked out of darkness, transferred into a kingdom of light. You've been forgiven of your sins. Everything declared against you has been washed away by the blood of Jesus. He died one time for all men forever, and he'll never die again. He paid your debt. It's done. It's finished. Own it. Walk in it. Live in the truth, and now you can excel in virtue, adding to your faith goodness, self-control, knowledge, perseverance, brotherly kindness unto love. We can now grow in the grace and knowledge of God because we're walking in the revelation of truth, and I can live in freedom. And when I do that, I'm available to be used by God in powerful ways. God is on a mission. Are you with him? God is on a mission. Are you with him, or are you living your own mission? This is important. Really important. God has something he wants to do in the earth, and he wants you a part of it. Amen. He wants me a part of it. He's not only raising up a beautiful bride, friends, but he is also going after the nations. This is important. I want to tell you a little quick story. So I just went to Florida. Drove down, 4 kids, a dog. Long drive. Dog peed on my lap and everything. Fun times. But here's the deal. Let me just preface it by saying this. The Lord, if you're following the Lord, he will take you farther than you want to go. He will make you spend more than you want to pay. He will put you in places that are very uncomfortable and do things that you really don't feel like doing. Do you understand? He wants to teach us how to think supernaturally, live supernaturally, to live by faith and a reliance on him, not on our own abilities. We have to understand that we have to trust God's sovereignty and involvement in all things, right? That's what faith does. Faith acknowledges the loving eyes of the Father and his engagement in everything. Some people say the devil's in the details, but no, friends. Heaven is in the details. I don't know what God you serve, but my God is a big God. Come on, my God is a big God. And we are not out of his sight. We are the apple of his eye. Come on. We are Amen. His inheritance. Yeah. Thank you, Sean Foster. We are his inheritance, a people that he loves. He's working us consistently, working in us according to his own pleasure, so that we would will and do according to his good purpose. And he gives us everything we need for the good works he's ordained us for, individually and as a community, on a journey of growing, changing, evolving, learning to grow up in the grace of God and put off childish ways so that we can be used by him in more powerful, beautiful, creative, dynamic, awe-inspiring ways that the world would see, who are these people and who is their God? Because we're meant to do good works as a city set on a hill, so that the world would see them and glorify God in the hour of visitation. Wow! That means, friends, you and I must be very available and very willing to see him in the details. Acknowledge God in all things. And believe that he's going to work all things out according to his purpose and his will without you flipping out and throwing a temper tantrum. Without you being angry about everything. Come on. Come on. Control freaks have a real hard time doing things that are outside the box. I heard people laughing. We all deal with it at certain levels, for sure, and some more than others. Some love structure. Others feel like structure will rob their spontaneity and freedom. Some people find the balance, understanding that structure empowers their freedom. But nonetheless, God is in the details. So we're driving. We got a late start because I had to do some work. So we're driving to Florida. We get into Maryland. It's late at night. Crystal's like, my back, I got to lay down with this baby. The baby's crying, needs to feed, all that kind of stuff, you know. So I was hoping to get way farther than we did. And I said, okay, I'm going to just love my wife. So I pull over after a toll, and I look up, you know, a hotel. And so on my phone, I find a good deal, and it says it's only 2.3 miles away. I'm like, 2.3 miles? This is awesome. I can just get right off an exit, hop right back on. This is great, and it's the best price on there, too. It's non-refundable, so I buy it, right? I'm like, great. What do you guys think? You know what happens? So I then plug in the address in the GPS, and it's an hour and like 10 minutes the other direction. And I already was fighting to get there. I was fighting to get there on the road like this already to get farther. And I'm like, I gotta go. I'm tired. Everyone's tired. And I gotta drive another hour now. But before I said anything, I said, really? Jubilee was up with me. And I said, Jubilee, do you know what just happened? And she was like, what, Dad? I said, let me tell you something. God has somebody he wants us to meet. Because I wouldn't even have bought this if it didn't say 2.3 miles away. Nothing happens by accident, Jubilee. There's someone that God wants us to meet. And I told her a few stories about how that's happened to me in life. So we get there. We drive an hour. And the whole time, Jubilee's like, man, who's he going to have us meet? What's going to happen? Blah, 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 blah. Right? You know, little chatterbox. She's awesome. So we get in. We go to bed. And we wake up in the morning. And same thing. She's talking about like, Dad, no, we didn't meet anybody. I guess, you know, what's going to happen? And so I said, Jubilee, just relax. We haven't left the hotel yet. I said, you never know what's going to happen. It could be in the parking lot. It could be anything. I said, but you need to keep your eyes open to what God has for us. We need to look for what heaven is doing. God brought us here for a reason, and I don't think it was just to sleep in this hotel. Long story short, we're having breakfast, and the Lord gives me a word of knowledge for a family that's there. And shows me a gift on the son's life and things over the father. And so I said, Juba, I think that's them. She goes, yeah, it's them. Let's go talk to him. Let's go talk to him. And so, yeah, it's just bringing Jubilee into the whole experience of ongoing, this is how God works. This is God answers prayer. He's involved. And so we went up and engaged the family. Long story short, I could talk more and more about it, but this was a Christian family, beautiful, beautiful Christian family, and we released words over them, prayed with them. They were shocked and deeply encouraged, and the Lord had us give them money as well as a further sign of part of the word that I had for them, and it was really amazing, powerful moment, you know, and I said, wow, God really loves you. I told them the story. Hey, God had me go way out of my way. Because he thought of you. Think about it for a moment. We get so familiar. God loves people more than we do. God thought of this family that needed encouragement. Another family of four. Four kids, rather, to go an hour out of my way, we're all exhausted with my family, to go simply encourage one of God's kids and bless them and give them money and to affirm them in God's plan for their life and his kindness and thoughts towards them. And then we carry on our way. God is beautiful. And I say that to say, I share that testimony to say that we're either going to be a people of the flesh or a people of the spirit. We're going to be a people who are led by the strength of our own arm or by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit, either by faith or by unbelief, by fear or by love. We're going to be driven by religion or relationship. And listen, religion, it leads to complaint. It leads to criticism and comfortability in what we can control and what we understand. It leads to pride. Versus relationship that leads to communion with God, covering other people's weaknesses in love. It leads to humility to follow the Lord wherever he leads. It leads to a life of costly sacrifice. We're meant to live in freedom, in a place of intimacy and relationship with God that can't be controlled or managed by just doing all the right things. Friends, the kingdom is on the move. We have to be willing to move with him. Right? We serve a living God. Sean said it during worship. It's exactly in my notes. We serve a living God who sees, who acts, who hears, who speaks. Come on. This is exciting. You serve a living God, not a dead God. Not a totem pole that's deaf and dumb. Sarah exhorted in worship about it. They made a golden calf and called it Yahweh. Something they could grasp and hold on to. They forsook that terrifying awe, wonder call to a living God that they can't control. Incredible. We are called to know our God, to be strong, to be wise, and to be ready for great and mighty exploits. God's called us to mighty exploits. Are you hearing me? The eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro throughout the earth. He is the Lord who sees. Hear this. God is the God who sees all. He knows all. His eyes are searching. He's looking for a heart that is completely his, loyal to him, undivided, one in whom he can strongly support, the scriptures say. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says that. That was God's encouragement to Asa, but he would not have it. He says, I want someone that will believe me, that will rely on me more than anything else. The problem with Asa is that he sought the help of man and not the Lord. And he died with a severe disease in his feet. And the Bible says, even though the affliction and disease was severe, he still did not seek the Lord. He only sought the help of physicians. And then it goes on to where Jehoshaphat succeeded him. A man established and made strong because he sought the Lord. A man who said, my eyes are on you. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. That is the posture God is calling us to, because what he's calling you to is greater than you can handle or manage. He's going to do exceedingly, abundantly more than we could ask for, think of, or imagine. Friends, it's going to be dynamic. It's going to be crazy. And we're saying, oh God, get us ready. But I'm telling you, we need to get ready. We need to be a people that have faith and have courage, who are willing to take risks in God, who are willing to live outside of our place of comfort and control. A people that will say, whose report will you believe? There's a lot of voices, a lot of narratives, a lot of good talk and opinion. But what has the Lord said? What has he promised? And how have you fully relied and agreed with it? In heart, in attitude, in word, and in action. The scriptures say, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Come on, are you ready for the glory of God to break in our day and age? I'm talking about the glory of God that comes over territories, regions, where God's invading dreams, as we heard, where homosexuals are being converted and repenting of their evil ways, addicts are being delivered, atheists are being converted, demons are being cast out in a moment. I'm talking about a zone of glory where righteousness prevails, healing and miracles are commonplace. The people of God are happy and free, living in righteousness and in truth, in healthy, vibrant, beautiful marriages. households lived in the grace of God, children raised in the faith. The glory of God that makes the people of God beautiful. God is calling us into something beautiful, but he says, friends, I need you to believe me. I need you to come up to a next place of faith. Because listen, the workings of God, the blessing, the miracle working realities of God, it comes out of a place of faith and obedience or faith-filled action. If we had not obeyed the voice of the Lord, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, you do not see the power of God manifest. God wants to break us out of religion, of being overly analytical in our ability to obey, and to be like children that can give ourselves completely to him. We cannot let fear or comfortability or mediocrity cause us to despise the good land and inheritance that the Lord wants to give us, simply because it might cost you too much, simply because you have to face certain fears, certain challenges, certain things you think you can or can't do. God will always call you to do something that you cannot do in and of yourself. You hear me? God will always call you to do something that you cannot do by yourself. He equips those that he calls. Amen? We always do the, but I can't, but I'm this, but I'm that. My personality is this, my personality is that, therefore I can't. See ya. God often calls us into the place of weakness so that he alone could be strong. So that the workings of God could be of his power and not of your charisma and abilities. Paul said, I had the death sentence within myself, despairing for even life. But God allowed this, that I would not trust in myself, but in God who raises the dead. That's where we're called to live. In the place of faith where we don't know what's going to happen. You know, Israel, they came to the promised land the first time. And it says many of them despised it because they were afraid of the giants they were going to have to face. They saw themselves as grasshoppers rather than according to what God had said. They did not relate to the promise and the things they were called to based on the faithfulness of God and on the word of the Lord. They looked at their own resource and they perished. A whole generation died that God was not pleased with because of unbelief that led to disobedience, complaining, grumbling, sexual immorality, lives that were out of order because they did not believe God. They did not enter into rest because they couldn't, because they refused to surrender in faith to the God who was good, to the God who was faithful, to the God who over and over proved himself. Many of you could recount the works of God in your life or those around you. Could you not? Man, oh, how we need to return to the devotions of meditating on his works, his testimonies and his ways, so that you could stir up faith. You could stir up faith and answer the accusations that want to shut you down. Man, God is calling us to consider his goodness, to believe in him so that we could be ready to do what we're called to do. Amen. God is raising up an army of consecrated ones. Just letting you know, guys, there is an army of Nazarites who are wholly devoted, burning signposts of holiness. There is a new generation that God is raising up that will actually believe God and his word and act upon it. But you and I, listen, we have to be warned that some of these young ones are right in our midst and they're watching you. They're watching us. They're observing your lives. They're listening to your words, your interactions. What are they learning from you? What are we teaching them? What are you really passing on by example? This is important. We need to wake from slumber. Live a vibrant, authentic life in God and pass on a living faith to the next generation of burning ones. There is great transitions happening in the body of Christ. Big transitions in the Big C Church, okay, in the nations and even in this house, in this community. And listen, the Lord knows those that are his and those that he's appointed to even be of greater influence and lead in the next season. And I'm telling you, God's eyes are looking to and fro saying, who has been faithful? Who can be trusted with more? God's eyes see. Nothing is hidden from him, friends. This is wonderful and this is terrifying. Yes, we're loved, but let me tell you, God assesses and judges without partiality, according to truth. He does not have unsanctified mercy like many of us do. God is not so compassionate that he would set you up to fail. God is not out to give you more than you can handle, in the sense that you have an ability to rely on God and to be faithful to steward with what he's giving you. God is looking at your hearts, your attitudes, your efforts. You know, I love one of the churches in Revelation when he says, listen, your works are incomplete. Your works are incomplete. What is he talking about? Part of this has to do with heart, let alone faithfulness to follow through. Let it not be found that our hearts, our lives, the things that God has us stewarding right now are found incomplete. I love what Proverbs says. It says, hell is open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? Hebrews 4, the word of God's living and active, right? It goes on to say that all things are laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we're to take account. But God has been looking, weighing, testing hearts. This last season has been a season of testing, a season of trial for many, pressures that reveal areas that are needed growth, areas where we need to repent to be in alignment. That's the gift of God. But how you respond to the light is your choice. How you have responded to God determines what you can receive in the next season. Do you understand? Sometimes we overly rely on mercy and don't welcome the chastisement and loving discipline of the Father that is for our good. Listen, the scriptures, I mean, you can even mark these scriptures down. Mark 4:25, Matthew 13:12, 25:29, Luke 19:26. It's all reiterating the same scripture here.
Well, way too fast, brother. Way too fast. Say that again.
Mark 4:25, Matthew 13:12, chapter 25, verse 29, Luke 19:26. And you can read the whole context there. These are all almost in the different parables of the sower, the parables of the talents, the minas, the cities. These are all about how people have prepared the condition of their heart and stewarded, or how they used what God had gave them. And when you reflect on this last year, how have you used and done with what God has given you? You have to take sober account. And of course, ask the Lord to search you, to know you, to test you. But in this scripture, it says those that have, or those that really have done well or multiplied what I've given you, more will be given to you. But those that do not have, what they do have will be taken from them and given to the one that has done well. So the question is, how have you obeyed the Lord? This is important because I believe this issue of stewardship is a dividing line in this season, because God is going to prune what needs to be pruned. Branches and areas of our life that do not bear fruit, he cuts off. That's what he says. And fruitful vines, he also prunes, that they could bear more fruit, that they could refocus and be readjusted in the grace of God. And let me tell you something. You know, in all those stories, it points out this point. I want you to take note of why the servant that buried the talent, that didn't do anything with it, why did he do that? Because listen, the Lord did not meet his response kindly. In one of the parables, the Lord said, bring that person before me and kill them. Another said, throw them out, this lazy hypocrite. Get him out of here. Throw him in prison. He said very terrifying things. Why did that person do that? Anyone know? Anyone want to shout it out? Fear. First thing he says, I was afraid of the kind of person or God that you were. fear robbed them from doing what they needed to do before God. And God didn't say, I'm so sorry you were afraid. Let me comfort you. That's not how the king responded. We need to fear the Lord. And oh, how the fear of the Lord is returning to the church like never before. If we're going to be a people of glory and of supernatural power, with entrustment to wield authority in the earth and represent him to society once again, friends, the fear of the Lord must come to refine us, to cause us to depart from evil and to live well in the grace of God. Amen? Fear cannot stop you from doing what God's called you to do. You and I must go to war with fear and receive the love of God revealed in the gospel that casts out fear, that you can grow in the grace of God. You have to reject condemnation, reject self-pity, reject the woe is me. Stop looking at yourself and look to the beauty of the gospel and of the God that has loved you and justified you and gives you what you need to walk in freedom. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just passionate. Jesus walks amongst the lampstands. And he does affirm and he does remove. And friends, I feel that type of sobriety, this type of moment of pruning is here. We need to welcome that upon our life and upon our community. God, prune what needs to be pruned, that we could bear more fruit. And what is dead and unfruitful, confront me. Confront my dead religion. Confront the things that are empty talk, hot air, void of substance. Confront me, God. I want to live well in the grace of God. I want to grow in virtue. I want to grow in love. I want to live a life pleasing in the Lord's sight. Come on, ask for the Lord's reproof. Here's one of the things I know I need to close. So much I wanted to share. But one of the major things God is after in this season for us as a people, and it has to do with your how you navigate your own life, but how we interact in community. The things that we say, that come out of our mouth, they matter. The scriptures say even what we say in careless moments, thoughtless moments, we will be judged even for those things. God is calling for greater consecration in our speech. If we can tame our tongue, we can be perfect. That's what the scripture says. Life and death is in the tongue. You and I need to learn to speak the truth, to reframe how we see things and what we say about things. You know, when I went on that ride and ended up finding out that I had to go an hour out of my way, you know, I could have said a lot of things in my initial frustration, but I didn't. I said, no, the Lord is doing something. Those moments matter. The Lord is saying, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? Are you going to believe me? Or are you going to grumble and complain? Last I looked, God kept a generation out of the promise because of complaint. Holy smokes. Do you know that complaining in your life only robs your life and defiles people around you? You will destroy a community with corrupted speech. It's one thing God hates: slander, gossip, what causes divisions in community. The Bible says, let no unwholesome thing come out of your mouth. Only what's good and necessary for imparting grace to edify the hearer. Proverbs 15 says, the tongue of the wise adorn knowledge, but the mouth of the fool only gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Crushes the spirit. And I dare say, not only does it crush the human spirit and deflate and disempower, it also grieves the Holy Spirit. It crushes the heart of God. What you say matters. And I feel like God is going to lovingly chastise us in this arena in greater measures. Discretion is so important. God needs to do this so that we can live in harmony and unity and love and abide in peace, but also so that we can bear witness to the world. We should not let corrupted springs and clean springs come out of our mouth. We need speech that changes the world, where we can be careful on how we relate to outsiders, where our words are seasoned with grace, and have power and potency. They're not deluded because our soul is deluded. We need to walk in liberty. Amen. I don't have time to get into it, but I want to encourage all of you to sit in chapters 11 through 14 in the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers, chapters 11 through 14, there's some significant prophetic things, and maybe if I get to share again, or I'll share in a different platform around these things here. But there's a lot of key lessons that I believe are upon us here and now. Because there's also a fresh release of God's anointing for leadership in this house to multiply leaders that carry the Spirit of God and the DNA necessary to shepherd the people of God and to prepare for the coming harvest. God is going to prune, He's going to freshly anoint and freshly disseminate and cast the net so that we are ready for the souls God wants to put into our care. We cannot be like the spies that went into the promised land and came back with a negative report, disempowering the whole community. We need to have a good report about who the Lord is and what's possible in this time. Amen? This is so important. And in saying that, I'm going to close with these comments around souls and intercession. The scriptures say, he who saves souls is wise. Remember, God is on a mission, and you and I are part of it. That's why judgment starts in the house of the Lord first. We are His witnesses. We are His representatives. We are His instrument of salvation in the earth. He uses us through intercession. He uses us through the proclamation of the gospel. He uses us as we lay down our lives as seed to make disciples. But nonetheless, we are His instruments to advance His cause in the earth. God is doing two primary things always. This can anchor you in terms of your job description in the earth. One, He is maturing His bride. He's building His church. And two, He's adding to His family through the saving of souls, through the message of the gospel preached, as all the kingdoms in the earth are becoming the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. If we're not on that mission, friends, if we're not strengthening the church, building up the body by doing our part in the family and by releasing the gospel into the earth, then friends, we are serving a different mission. And God is going to thrust His people in this season into greater places of power and influence for the sake of the gospel. That's why there's been promotions. That's why there's influence. That's why doors are being opened so that you can be a witness, not just so that you can be promoted. You're being promoted for the sake of kingdom influence. Amen? We have to be soul winners and intercessors. And it's twofold, meaning this. We have to win each other over continually. We have to be soul winners towards each other, provoking each other to love and good works. You know, like for instance, God sent me on a whole mission for what? Were they unsaved people? No. They were people who loved God, hoped in His name. I can't tell you how many times God has led me places to do things, to speak to people, to come to find out they are His people. They needed a word of encouragement. God is on a mission to build His church, His people, His bride, His inheritance. And we partner in that by encouraging each other, by warning each other, by rebuking each other, by strengthening and supporting each other, by seeing to it that none of us are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin or fall short of the grace of God. That's what the Bible says. That's part of your responsibility to each other. To speak straight to each other. To rebuke each other. To warn each other, as well as to comfort each other and help and serve in practical ways and in spiritual ways until we grow into the fullness. This is about making disciples. And two, we have to be soul winners by sharing the gospel with the lost, by preaching, healing the sick, casting out devils, doing good works, being wonderful witnesses of His mighty ways. I had another divine appointment I'm not going to get into, but I asked the dude in the hotel right before I left, hey, what's the Lord saying? And he goes, oh, I guess I was hoping you would tell me. I said, great. He was the clerk at the hotel. We sat there. He was a prodigal that had gone astray in the false religion and was on his way back. We opened the scripture. There was a Bible there that someone left randomly, right in front of him as he was eating breakfast. He goes, I've never opened that thing. It's been there for months. And I said, well, today is your day, friend. We opened the scriptures and went to the scriptures. We got to pray together. Amazing. We are called to share the gospel, to be witnesses. Sean, I got a lot to say, dude, but I got to stop.
Yeah, you do. I've done it many times. I've seen pages of notes left, and then you just have to say, hey, next week. So next week you can wrap that up, but you do have to get to the main heart of everything in Numbers. That you just, not now, but...
Yeah.
So just close it. Give a challenge here and let people respond. And
amen. But friends, you are enlisted to win souls and to be intercessors. Like even what we did a little bit here this morning, we need to engage with the spirit of prayer. We need to keep our eyes open to the world around us. Because days of abundance and favor are coming. Harvest is upon us. And God is going to release new wine. He's going to release his spirit in a fresh way. It's going to be amazing. And the call to action is this. We have communion up here too, so maybe this will be part of our call to action. Both rooms. But this is the deal, friends.
Let's do communion next week, Josiah.
Yes, sir. I love this. Two rooms working together. Look at that. I want to challenge you and encourage you to consecrate yourself. We've been hearing this a lot. Consecrate yourself. The Lord, he's testing the hearts and minds of his people. I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to search you, to know you, and to be quick to repent where you need to. Prepare for more, friends. Prepare for transitions for many of you and for us as a people. Prepare to be pruned. And prepare to be refocused. I want to encourage you to consecrate your lips. What you say, to speak only faith. And to speak promise and vision and hope. Speak what is honoring and good and right and true. Do not crush the spirit of those around you through complaint, through accusation. And I'm talking about to your spouse, to your children, to your peers, to those that you're overseeing. Consecrate your lips. And finally, be available to heaven and the people around you. I want to challenge you. Go share the gospel with someone. Some of you can't even remember the last time you did that. It's part of your primary job description. Be witnesses. Open your heart, your life. Share the word of God. Share your story. Go share the gospel this week. Go strengthen your brothers and sisters in the community. Lift up those around you. Amen? Come on, stand with me. I want to call us to consecrate ourselves, to make ourselves available to the kingdom of heaven, to be on mission with God, to say, Lord, search me and know me. Where I've been unfaithful, help me, God, be faithful. Where I've spoken against your people, against myself, against others, where I have complained and grumbled, renounce, repent, turn, and consecrate your lips. Ask for the fire of God to touch you. Ask for the love of God to be put into your heart afresh for souls. If you're like, man, I can't even think about others. I'm so filled with my own struggles. Then ask for the Lord to open your eyes to the gospel afresh. See his provision for you. Do not despise his provision. Do not reject it. That's what Israel did in the wilderness. They failed to recognize and affirm God's provision. And they continued to ask for other things. Give us meat, they said. Give us this, give us that. They showed contempt for the Lord because they failed to be content in him. Come on, just do business with God for a moment as we respond.